Good morning. It's amazing how long these months seem to last. Joy and I were just talking the other day, and we said, we've just been here for a couple weeks, so it seems like we've been here for a lot longer than that. So it's been a good couple of weeks, getting to know the area some more, and of course, the activities that we're being able to do together outside the church, and also just being together whenever we can. We just have appreciated the fellowship with y'all, and just praising the Lord for his kindness and his faithfulness and all that. And the installation service that we had last Thursday was really well done. A lot of support for the family, which is important for me as well. To see other pastors from different areas coming, and of course the district superintendent assistant coming, and even the chaplain that's going to be handling this area coming as well. So it was really a blessed time. So we just praise the Lord for that. Yes, we're still here in the book of Colossians. This will be actually probably the last time we'll be in Colossians for a while. So just wanted to go through that. And we're talking about our secret identity. Did you know that you had a secret identity? It's kind of interesting to think about that. But I know that a lot of us have favorite superheroes. Does anybody, what's somebody's favorite superhero? Spider-Man. Who said that? Yeah. Yeah, Sandy did. That's mine, too. What else? Who else? Wonder Woman, yes. Who else? Anything else? What's that? Superman, yeah. He's kind of one of the faves, I think, too. Iron Man, yeah, that guy. I think he eats a lot of iron. Batman's kind of fun, especially in those Lego Batman movies that were pretty fun with that. So, when you think about these superheroes, a lot of times they're trying to protect their identities, yeah? We don't know who it is. Now, Captain Marvel was a little bit different. We kind of already knew who she was, and she didn't really put anything on that I remember. Did she put a mask on? I don't remember that. I don't think so. But so she was just too powerful to even matter to anybody else. I think most of the time they're put their protective, mask on so people wouldn't know who they are, so they wouldn't be able to get after them when they're in their regular lives, right? They're like Bruce Wayne, being this millionaire, whatever he did, and Spider-Man was just a student, and then Superman was a newspaper guy and things like that. So they didn't want anything coming back at them or their families, so that's why they protected them. And then there's times when at the right time, they revealed who they were. Like, I think Spider-Man did that to his girlfriend once or at one time. I don't think Superman ever did that. I can't remember. With Lois? That could be, too. If you watched the movie series, maybe. I mean, not the movie series, the TV series on that there, too. So for Christians as well, we tend to have our own secret identities. And one thing about Christians, we tend to be tentative to reveal our true identity to others. And we're going to be talking about a little bit more about that today in Colossians 3. We've been in the book Colossians for a few weeks now. And, just remember, this is a letter that Paul wrote to these Christians in a city called Colossae. And probably new believers. And as they're learning to walk with God, false teaching started to come into the church that pretty much told them, were really questioning their faith, saying, is your faith really sufficient, or is Christ's work, was his salvation work really sufficient? Or maybe if that might be, but men, you want to be more like Jesus. You want to be holy like he is, and if you do, then we have some more things that we can add on to help you attain that holiness, that genuine holiness. So there's a lot of things going on. And Paul wrote this letter to them, say, as they're reading it, he's just saying, no, don't listen to these guys, because You don't need anything more than Christ. He's already done everything. He's done it perfectly. He's completed his work and finished it well. There's no need for that. There's no need to go into these shadows of adding things to his word or to how to worship him or even to seek holiness. It's all there. And he's just encouraging them as they felt pressured by these other people and all these teachings coming at them. And, you know, a question is then, you know, when you look at this, is this, well, how then is genuine holiness to be had by the Christian? How are we going to get there? And Paul is going to address that. If you look back at in chapter 2 of Colossians, at back at verse 23, it says this: such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. Now, he's talking about these shadows, right? These things that are trying to, these rules and rules and rules that they're trying to add to get people to do it on their own. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And really what Paul is saying, he's addressing this, he's saying, you know what? All these things that they're trying to present, these rules that you have to follow, or going back to the, you know, doing these dietary things that you used to do in the past or whatever, they don't really have any power to change you. But he's saying, you know what? I'm going to tell you how you're going to be changed, what kind of power there is. And, you know, there's three things we're going to be looking at attaining being genuinely holy. And as we looked at that scripture that Steve read earlier, you know, there in Colossians 3, it's talking about being raised with Christ. Also talking about being hidden with Christ. And it's also talking about appearing with Christ. And so we're going to be looking at those today. Before that, let's take a moment and pray and give this to the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you knowing that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that your word is true. You are the reality. There are no shadows about you. You are perfect. Your word is perfect. Your work and plan are perfect. Just thank you that we can get together this morning to hear your voice through your word, Lord, that is truly alive and active as we read it, and your Holy Spirit just empowers it. Open up our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, our ears, our understanding to more of you, so we can walk in a way that bring honor and glory to your name. Bless these words by the power of your Holy Spirit. May you receive all the honor and glory in it, and pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we'll go on here. So this first part says, since then you have been raised with Christ. So what is this raised with Christ? Well, did you know? Well, when Christ died, and then 3 days later, he was raised again. He was raised again in bodily form, from the mortal to the immortal. And that's Christ. Now, for us, we haven't received that type of resurrection yet. But when we receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you confess your sins and you invite him into your heart and you decide to follow him, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your heart, and you are resurrected spiritually. There's a spiritual resurrection going on. There's a renewing. If you look at back at John chapter 3, and how when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was saying, you got to be born again. And he's going, well, how can I be born again? What do I have to do? Go back and my mother's womb again? That's impossible. You know, so he's saying, no. He's saying, it's a spiritual birth. And that's when we receive Christ, we are spiritually reborn. And you look at John chapter 1, it says this. I'll just read this for you. In verse 12 to 13, it says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. And are not born naturally, but born supernaturally of God, right? So we are children of God. So when you receive Christ, you're not just a believer, but now he has actually adopted each one of us. He adopted us as his own children. We have rights of a son and daughter because of this adoption. That's a powerful thing to think about. When we're raised with Christ, we are adopted into his family. 1 Peter 3, chapter 1, 3, 5 says this, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." So we are born into a new life, a new birth, a living hope. Remember, we talked about hope before, that we are these beacons of hope, these people that are messengers of hope to others about what Christ has done for us and what we have waiting for us and this inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. That's the kind of inheritance I want, right? Don't you? I mean, when you're on this earth and you're saying, "Oh, I inherited this from my mom and dad, or I got, you know, inherited this from a friend or something. They gave this to me, or something, you know." But after a while, it's just gonna either whatever it is, it's just gonna, you know, die out, or it's gonna crumble, or it's gonna, or if it's money, it's just gonna be spent and used and be gone. So something that does not last forever. But God's inheritance does. Being raised with Christ. I think of it as a butterfly. You ever think about a butterfly? It starts off as a little egg, you know, and then it becomes this little caterpillar. You ever see those caterpillars and they're just kind of inching around like that? You know, kind of a weird thing, you know, but I feel that caterpillar is us, you know, when we're first, you know, seeking the Lord and we're seeking for something better, because we know there's something out there. I know when I was growing up, I knew there was a God, and I prayed to him, and I prayed to Jesus. I asked for forgiveness, but my relationship really wasn't a true relationship. It was just a one-way relationship, really. I just talked to God. I didn't listen to him. I didn't really obey him. So I was just using them. But I knew there was something more. And as time went on, God kept on working upon my heart to where I started to seek him more and more. Seek something better. Seek my true identity, because I tell you, I felt pretty worthless, pretty meaningless, no real direction in my life. And it was lonely. But God kept on working and working and working until one day, before a TV evangelist, I fell on my knees and just received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just asked for forgiveness. I felt all the weight of my forgiveness upon me, and I just gave it, I mean, a sin upon me, and I just asked him to forgive me, and I just felt a release. And from then on, God just started something new in my heart. New in my heart that has continued to grow today. It's really an amazing thing. And then it doesn't stop there. You know, you got the butterfly and he's got the caterpillar stage, but then after a while, that caterpillar is going to get into what they call the chrysalis stage. You know, they get in their little cocoon. And remember here later on, it says in a word, as we read it here, it says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So we're hidden in Christ. Well, this caterpillar goes hiding in his little cocoon, and there's something going on there. I don't know all. Other people really kind of know what's going on. There's things moving, but I feel like there's a struggle. There's a struggle between the old and the new going on there. And there's, it's just like in our hearts, you know, when we receive Christ, there's a struggle because we're pulled back to the old ways, you know, even like the people and the Colossians, you know, the Christians there were being pulled back to their past, saying, you got to be circumcised, you got to follow these dietary laws, you got to follow these rules, guys. Because this is just what you got to do to get better, to get holy. You know, so we get pulled. We get pulled between this world and our old life and our own desires here and stuff like that. And then a new thing happening in us. There's a struggle going on. We're in this little cocoon. You know, one thing for us as Christians, or it's just our true identity is hidden by our sin. The old self just hides us from who we truly are. And there's a struggle there. If you're looking back at what Paul was writing in Romans 7, remember that? He's going, oh, I just tried to do good. I tried to be the best I can, and I just keep on failing. I keep on doing bad instead. You know, he's just going, where? And then he just let out this. I feel like he's just yelling. He says, what a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the only one that can rescue him from this body of death. In each one of us, there's a struggle going on. And 2 Corinthians, it says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. See, when you look at this and you kind of go down there to verse 5 and it starts getting a little scary, but we gotta face up to this. Here it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in an image of its creator. There's a struggle going on there. Can you see it? Can you feel it? You could probably feel it, right? Do you feel the struggle going on in your life? You wake up, start your day, and there's things just pulling you. You know, I can do that. This, you know, these pressures coming upon you, your own desires. You know, as you go through the day, you know, things are coming at you, and sometimes, you know, how are you going to react to those things? You know, it's just all of that. You know, are you gonna let the new self out, or are you gonna follow the old ways? It's a process of the Holy Spirit working within us while we're being hidden. It's a powerful thing what God does for each one of us. Some grow faster than others, right? In that way, allowing Christ to come in and do wonderful things and to shape our lives. So there's an actual taking off of the old self and putting on the new self. It's a daily walk in that. Being transformed in that cocoon, right? And then you look at that, and we're being renewed as we grow in the knowledge of who God is and His grace. Do you remember what it said back there in chapter 1 of Colossians? It just says, you know, Christ is the image of the invisible God. You know, He's the firstborn over all creation. He is supreme over everything. You know, he's the firstborn from the dead. He's got it all. You know, all this knowledge, and as we trust in him more and grow in it, then the transformation takes just the process just keeps growing and changing us within. And then we come out to what's called here in that last part of the verse 4 there. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, now you're talking about Christ coming in the last days when he comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he appears, then we're going to appear with him too. You know, then our true identity is going to be shown. But I also think there's another way Christ appears in our lives, and that's in our daily walk. You see, when you think about that butterfly in that cocoon, you know, there's a time when it just flies out of that cocoon, you know, and spreads its wings and is transformed into something that's much more beautiful than that little crawling caterpillar. It's something marvelous to look at. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful life. It's an identity that shows forth the creation of God. Stunningly beautiful. If you looked at somebody's butterflies. And that's like us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I read this to you here. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, I believe Jesus, he sent a spirit to work in our lives. And even in our daily walk, we know that when Christ comes, you know, everything's going to be made perfect again. But even now, as we walk, and he reveals himself through us, our true identity is exposed. When we lend a helping hand to somebody, a stranger, or we say a kind word to a family member, or we work honestly at our job, even when people aren't even looking or studying as hard as we can and without teachers always looking over our shoulder, are they cheating or not? People who pray for others, who just show love in many different ways of caring and sharing, inviting, accepting, grace being given. That's Christ being revealed in our lives. That's our true identity of who we are, being revealed to the world, and they see it. And it might be just a glimpse. It might just be a glimpse, because I know, you know, we have a tendency to put on our secret identity again for whatever reason, or we're just still working through things because there's a process going on. You know, we kind of show our wings out of the cocoon, but oop, they go back in, you know. It's just not quite ready to go out yet, you know, fully, you know, for whatever reason. But we're made to be perfect into the image of Christ as we grow in that knowledge and grace of who he is. And it says, and he's saying, hey, look at this, guys. You want rules? Well, I'll give you some different kind of rules, because let's look what's going to happen, because this is happening in your lives now. You got this spirit working within you, changing you, making you new. It's not you that's making yourself new, though there's a lot of people like to say that. They like to, you know, do their mantras and their special chants and do their pilgrimages and all that stuff to try to make themselves holy. But it lacks power, true power, to give real transformation. Because those are shadows. Remember what it said there in 23. You know, it has an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed worship and false humility and all that. You know, but it lacks. It lacks. Whatever we try to do to make ourselves holy or beautiful like Christ, it lacks unless we allow Christ's Spirit to move in us and change us and surrender more and more to Him. The old self, taking off that old self, take off that patch and throw it down and put on a new thing and keep on working, keep on moving. You know, it's a struggle. Everybody goes through that struggle and that transformation process, and they're at their own speed. Christ accepts all. Look at this here. He says that, you know, it doesn't matter. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. It doesn't matter where you come from, what language you use, what ethnicity, what your social economic status is. He's got it all. He accepts all. And He has changed us as well. This is a part of who we are too, to accept one another, no matter what. And it says, listen to this. You want to know what the new self looks like? Well, get this in the next part here. It says, therefore, okay, there's that therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So you talk about genuine holiness. Brothers, sisters in Christ, we got it. In Christ. It's not of us, but when you received Christ, there's that holiness that has been imparted upon us. We don't have to look anywhere else. We already have it. It's kind of like when I put my glasses up, I'm sort of going, hey, where are they? You know, where are they? You know, oh, I got them. Just got to put it on so I can use it. I think a lot of times we forget what we got and who we are in Christ. We're already holy in Him. In Him. We're hidden in Him. And then when He is revealed, our identity starts coming out more and more. And this is what it looks like. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Oh, no. Not the bear that you shoot. Okay, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Let it go. You're not God. God will take care of that. You know, pray for that person, you know. Forgive. Uh-oh, that's another toughie. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. All right, now you can transform it. That's starting to hit deep, right? Forgive as the Lord forgave me. Oh, man. Oh, that's a hard one. And over all these virtues, put on love. Put it on. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. That love, you know, that's where it all springs forth. You know, the love, and through the love, there's the mercy, and there's the grace, there's the forgiveness, all that. If you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you get a good definition of what love is. How wonderful it is. True love. And then that goes on. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So we're being transformed. Well, get yourself right with God. Get yourself right with Him. Ask for forgiveness. Give forgiveness. Get yourself right with Him in that peace as we trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, the one that is victorious over all, who's supreme over all creation. When we say, you're King, I'm just one of your sons or daughters. But I make peace with you, Father. Through Jesus Christ, may there be peace and that trust and that hope that we place in Him. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Uh-oh, there's another one. Be thankful when we're going through tough times, pandemics, tough financial issues, family issues, job issues, school issues, remote learning, whatever it is. Oh my. Be thankful. Yeah. Be thankful. Not for those problems, but be thankful for who is with you in those problems. You know, the one who is working in us all the time. He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. If you feel, you know, a conviction going on in your life, you know, you feel like when you're walking and you're doing some things and you feel something, you did. Well, that's a good thing. Be thankful that God is convicting us to turn us back to him, and just so we can repent, right? If he doesn't, then we're going to be falling off the cliff on our own. But if he says, hey, turn around, guy, you're going the wrong way, you're doing the wrong thing, thank you, Lord. Though it hurts, it's humbling, but praise him for that. And it goes on, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Enjoy it. Read it. Get into it. Allow it to speak in your hearts and minds. Change you. And as you do this, admonish one another, warn one another, encourage one another, teach one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, that all this will be encouraging. That's that, the family coming together, the brothers and sisters in Christ coming together and just taking care of one another and all of that. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do it all for his glory, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, your secret identity being revealed, you know, as we put on these new things, you know, yeah, when you show love, when you show forgiveness, there's that identity, you know, Christ is being revealed in us. Other people will see it and be touched. And I tell you something, you don't think you make a difference in this world? When we get into heaven, when Christ comes back, you're going to see people there that you just said, I remember you. And they said, yeah, you prayed for me. Or you told me about Jesus and the hope that you have in him. And God used that to turn my life around. See, don't ever think that what you're doing, if you're doing it in this strength of the Lord and having that Christ identity being appearing through us, that it's not something that doesn't have any power to it, but it turns into something that bearing good fruit that they talked about earlier in the chapter, that we are to bear good fruit and every good work. That's what it is. And if you look at, it says rules for Christian households. Well, you know all that. You know, when we have Christ in our lives and he's at the center of our lives and he's at the center of our marriage, he's at the center of our family, there's just a beautiful balance going on there. You know, there's the submitting wife to husband and the husbands loving their wives and the children obeying parents and the fathers and you know, not, you know, just encouraging their children, not discouraging. And the slaves or workers, you know, the workers obey your earthly masters. Well, really, it's just when we're out there working and doing our jobs, we are to do our work honestly with integrity and do it as unto the Lord. And when you're an owner or a business owner or somebody who has people under you, the supervisor or the whatever, employer, you're to treat your workers with kindness as they are in the Lord. See, all this, that's what Christ's, that perfect identity is in our lives. He is perfect. He is the image of God, perfect image of God. And we are to be made into his image. And as we follow these, as we just allow Christ in our lives more and more, he will appear more and more. And we will really make a difference in the lives of others around us. So what does it look back here? Reading back at the beginning of their chapter 3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So what is this setting your heart and your minds on things above? What does it look like? Well, I'm just going to give you a couple examples here, and you can try them if you haven't ever been trying them or working on it and stuff like that, but it's setting our hearts. One thing that helps us set our hearts on things above and our minds on things above is making time for the Lord in our lives. You know, setting time to be with the Lord. And I know it's not easy because we got a lot of things coming at us and we got things popping up. You know, my phone is beeping and iPad is blinking and all these other things going on. And you know, oh, we got to go here, we got to go there and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, a day's gone by and we didn't even think about the Lord much. Make time for the Lord in the morning, afternoon, evening. Whatever's best for you, and allow that time to be just a beautiful time, and don't be afraid to do it more than once. And you can do it in many different ways as well. You know, the fellowship that we have here on Sundays is great, but we have 6 more days in a week that we're living on this earth. We are to allow Christ's identity to shine through us and for us to focus upon him. And allow that to happen. You know, we need to spend time with them in the Word. You know, another thing you can do is you can, as you're reading the Word, you can find a scripture that really touches you and memorize that. Think about it that day, throughout that week, throughout the month, throughout the year. You know, take that verse with you daily. You know, when things are coming on you or just so busy, you just need to take a brain break or, you know, something, you know, get away from the screen or whatever. You can remember that verse. Or remember a song. Yeah, that's one thing I did a lot when I was driving. I drove all over the place in Ohio to different schools. And a lot of times I just remember a song from that Sunday or a favorite song that I have. And I'll just sing it in my heart or sing it out loud as I drove. You know, it's comforting. And even in the day, you know, during the day, maybe at lunchtime, I start thinking about that again. Or even when I was starting to teach, sometimes that song would be in my mind and my heart. And it would help me deal with some pretty tough kids. Because I know I'm not doing it on my own and in my own strength. Because if I did that, I know I'm going to fail most of the time. So those are just a few things you could do. Making time, you know. Use the scriptures, bring it with you, songs, you know. And another thing you can do, and this week is a perfect example for that, giving thanks. That's something that we can do throughout the day, all the day long. Give thanks to the Lord. You know, even when times get pressured or difficult and stuff like that, but take that little moment just to give thanks for, you know, what he provided that day, or protection that he gave us, you know, on the roads, you know, or just, you know, for good health, or for a job, or for opportunity to study so we can have a job, or, you know, things just, you know, or even thinking about things he did in the past that come upon us, and remember wonderful people that have made a difference in our lives, all that, you know, just give thanks to the Lord. Direct our eyes, our attention, our hearts and minds to God. Give thanks. Those are just a few things we can do to help us focus in. And as we do that, our hearts will be changed. As we do that, Christ will appear in our lives more and more and more. Until when he comes back, we will be fully revealed. You know, if you ever read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, those who are faithful, who are overcomers, you receive of white stone with a new name on it that only you know what it means. It's kind of like a new start. Something beautiful there. A crown, white clothes, living in paradise, eating of the fruit of the tree of life, having God's city written, the name of the city and his name written on you. So much more. That's our true identity. That's to come. But right now, we are to take off the mask. Are you ready, brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you ready to take off the mask and reveal Christ to others? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in awe that you love us so much. Who are we? We're just caterpillars, easy to squash, weird looking things. But you have chosen us. You have chosen us to be a part of your family. You have been transforming us into something beautiful like a butterfly. Yes, Lord, I know we're not fully exposed. Sometimes we hide our identity at times for one reason or another. But Father, have mercy and continue to do your work upon our hearts that we will allow Christ to appear in our every word and action and attitude, everything we do, bring honor and glory to you. Just praise you, thank you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen. Thank you.